from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who says birds of a feather are flocking outside. And oh, they have that comfort, you know, they can feel the sweet sound. It's not a ruffling. Maybe it's a shuffling. I'm not sure what sound it is. Maybe it is. It's like a fluffing. What am I talking about? Who am I? Well, welcome. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. A little bit nonsensical sometimes. But I'm glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, here's a couple ways we keep the show going. If you could listen through the credits, it'd be a huge, huge help. Here we go. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you can fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to both of those, like, how much is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of, really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. Hey, everybody. One of my favorite podcasts, one of the most brilliant podcasts ever made, is in its third season, Within the Wires. Like, so Within the Wires is a fictional audio podcast, kind of told through these pieces of found audio. In season 3 is a political thriller and set in 1950s Chicago, kind of told through these dictated letters and notes from a bureaucrat to their secretary. And while every season, season 1, season 2, season 3, they're all in the same universe, you can listen to season 3 first without missing a beat of the story. You'll pick it up. You'll get a feel for the world. Really, really a super inspiring podcast made by super inspiring people. And you can find it wherever you consume your podcasts, right in the app you're listening right now. Just pull up the search and search Within the Wires or go to withinthewires.com. And trust me, this will be a podcast. You'll be reaching out to me and saying, Scoots, thank you so much for recommending this. I was so happy to have discovered it when I did. Come on, join me in 1950s Chicago, in another world. Thanks. Mr. Bart, a lot of people put time in to keep this show going. Who are they?
This posty poster song
sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song,
edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend
also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team might astound or on the website.
I am the Mystery Bart.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you. You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon.
buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Did you know if you listen on Spotify, you could share the episodes right in your Instagram stories? Great way to share about the show. Thank you so much. And let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest of what I'm going to attempt to do. Is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about that you'd probably maybe rather not be thinking about if you're similar to me. Feelings that could be associated to those thoughts, or they could just be feelings, you know, remnants of the day. Maybe remnants is a good word. I don't know if I've used that in the podcast before, but I'm crossing my fingers to see if I'll remember a remembrance of It's also hard to say, but it could be feelings from today or from the past or the future. You say, well, I got that thing tomorrow. It could be physical sensations. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that, to distract you, to welcome you into this safe place, or, you know, that it's where you are, to make it a little more comfortable, a little bit more safe. Here you go. I'm going to puff that and pat that and tuck that. I have the remnants of sleep dust here that I'm going to they're kind of, it's imaginary. That's why it's remnants. Sprinkle that around. Also forget what I was going to, I'm here to put you at ease, to take your mind off of stuff. What I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, us and us. You're right. Was that my Freudian brain that let you so slip? You say, yes, when Scoots has a Freudian slip, it's more like he's already like a Freudian spill. I think they call it in my case. He's like, what's that on the floor? Well, Scooter had another Freudian spill there. Right out of his mouth, drooled it right out of his mouth. It was an. What did Dr. Freud say about that Freudian spill of Scooter's? He said, a cigar is not a cigar. And then that was when we realized he was a Freud impersonator, because we said, well, that's a puddle of drool, Dr. Freud. And then Scooter said, rah, or something. And we said, Dr. Freud, what do you have to say about that? And then Scooter said, you know what? I'm pretty sure I used to pretend. He said, I got to get back to a podcast intro, believe it or not, because I don't even know what I was saying. I was saying, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark, lulling, soothing. Oh, I'm going to go off on tangents. That's what I was saying. Pointless meanders. I'm going to take your mind off of stuff. I'm going to be here. Let me tell you structurally, if you're new, what to expect. If I have any remnants of your attention, is a show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep it show free. 300 episodes you could listen to in a row free. And that's only important for the regular listeners. So if you're new, don't worry about it. Then there's an intro, which we're maybe a few minutes into. Intros are around 12 minutes or so. And it's a show within a show, like kind of like a monologue, kind of like a trust building session. That's only remnants. Like if you were going to buy, I don't know if that's what remnants are. Like you say, I'm going to buy some of those, like that extra cloth you have that the kids were making cloth dolls out of, and then you hold it up. You know, it's got all these different shapes cut out of it. I don't know. Honestly, that just popped into my brain. I'm holding it up. That's kind of like what my thoughts are like. That's what the intros are like too, right? I try to explain what the podcast is, but I'm not working with a full bolt of fabric. To be honest, I couldn't string together a yard. It's a Patchwork of Remnants, The Scooter Story, an autobiography, his 54th autobiography, A Patchwork of Remnants. The tale of the podcaster who kept making up titles for autobiographies he never wrote to try to create a metaphor about it in the introduction to the podcast. But the intro is kind of like different listeners use it different ways. I mean, the ideal way, I guess, or the main way is as part of your wind down routine. You say, well, I'm starting to get ready for bed. I hear Scoots. I know there's a bedtime story coming. I know this intro is not going to make a whole lot of sense. So I can brush my teeth, or maybe I just brush my teeth. I'm getting comfortable, you know, getting the airflow right, getting the bombing done, you know, puffing those pillows. A little bit part of a bedtime routine. Yeah, I think I said that. But for some listeners, they skip the intro. Some listeners fall asleep during the intro. And it's not just the intro, like more and more listeners I hear from, you know, if you're having a rough day, you could tune in and you say, well, I was having a rough day. Let me see. Scoots makes this podcast almost every day and he's made 700 of these intros. Let's see if, and they say, well, it's not easy for Scoots either. So that's the intro. Show within a show. You could skip it or you could use it as part of your routine or you could drift off. And then after that, we'll have a little bit of business. Then we're going to talk about The Good Place. And oh boy, are we going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the things I wrote, you know, my handwriting when I was trying to take notes when I was watching it. We're going to talk about, you know, believe it or not, you know, don't blush when I say this, but we'll be talking about cheaty specs, maybe. And I say, holy mackerel. But, you know, even with cheaty specs, I'll say, well, you know, I'll try to, you know, not say that he was in a sprinkler and then in a grocery store. I'll more say, what was on the shelves of the grocery store? You know, what brand of chili? So we'll be talking about stuff like that. You say, well, here's something I haven't never paid attention to, and I apologize for this. What kind of footwear does Eleanor wear? Me, I got no idea. I would guess, I wouldn't want to guess. I mean, would it be Chuck Taylor's? Maybe not. I think she'd want a more comfortable footbed. She'd wear what she said. This is what feels good. And I don't know, maybe kids. I mean, I'm more thinking this is more figuratively, like what would be if Eleanor Shellstrop was, you know, in existence and she said, okay, let's talk about what you want to wear. I'm trying to explain what the podcast intro is. Maybe she'd wear shoes made from remnants. Maybe they could be a new thing. Remnants of sense. My story, who's a former treasurer of the United States or whatever? Sign me up, you know, or my journey to eliminate the penny. A remnants of sense. The Jean-Claude Coppa story. Let's just pretend that Jean-Claude Coppa is trying to get rid of pennies. I don't know who's in charge, who's leading up that thing, but get in touch with me. I could write your title for your autobiography because I already did. Or it could be a Jean-Anthony Lebec, my defense of the penny in a world that no longer appreciated or loved it. That one would need a second subtitle because... for extra twist, because I think it would have to have a universal, you know, what we lost when we lost the penny and how I saved it. The Jean-Claude Lebec story, A Remnants of Sense. Maybe we'll just go straight to a Masterpiece Theater with that one. Has there ever been a Masterpiece Theater series about currency, irrelevant currency? Okay, all the pennies in my drawers are weeping now. Anyway, I got to get through this intro. So I'll be talking about The Good Place at some point. And it'll be a meandering, you know, it's a 22-minute show. I'll be talking about it for about 45 minutes. But also I'll look stuff up and try to read what's on, you know, try to read signs and stuff like that. I'll be here to keep you company. So that's the structure show. Ends with some thank yous and some good nights. And if you're new... thanks for sticking around. You got a sneak preview of what I'm going to be working hard on one day. I don't know, out of all my wacky ideas, they could actually, could somebody, this is a serious thing, remind me of this. I think this penny thing has got legs, at least for a Sleep With Me episode. Okay, so that's the structure show. Here's a couple other things. You don't need to listen to me. I'm going to be, like, this is a podcast you could kind of passively listen to, or you could turn it even down to a mumble. You know, you could listen to it how you want, and you don't need to make sense of it. Clearly, it's 80% nonsense, and the remnants of it is not, you know, also the, you know what I'm saying. So, you don't need to listen to me, but there's also no pressure to fall asleep. Here's the other deal. I'm going to be here till the very end, giving it my all, which in another circumstance would be grounds for, you know, no longer working there, but for making a Sleep podcast, me here being here to the very end, or the very end. That was back when I applied to work for Strawberry Shortcake, and they said, we don't know what you were talking, you just went off on a tangent about, no, I said I went off on a tangent about crossovers with the Scratch and Sniff stickers, Strawberry. No, you were talking about pennies. Oh, okay, thanks, Professor Pepper, or whatever, Baron Blueberry. One too many tangents in this intro. Otherwise, this would be very excellent, very good. Okay, so yeah, I'll be here till the very end. If you can't sleep, I'm here to keep you company. But I'm also here to take your mind off stuff so you can fall asleep whenever you like. And I would posit that you say, well, maybe I wasn't following what Scoots was talking about, but I wasn't listening to my other thoughts either. That's the goal of the show. I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night and to keep you company with some inane banter. Or, you know, slightly, you know, you say, well, you say, actually, I've thought a lot about the penny in the past. And I say, well, most of the time I shrug my shoulders. I say, well, Penny, what are you going to do? I think even Penny, you see, Penny, tell me about your fate. What do you think? I don't, you know, it's been a good run, but, they'll probably find us, I'll probably outlast you, Scoots. I say, oh boy, whoa. How'd I get the penny with an edge? There's another story I could write. That could be the other person in the penny. Maybe there's a penny, like a Polly, maybe we could get a Polly Penny thing going. Maybe we could get a Polly Pocket Penny edition going. But anyway, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here to keep you coming. You know, the reason I make a show is because I've been there in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning. Lonely, to be honest. It's lonely, the lonely penny. Does anybody know what about books like Encyclopedia Brown? I could do the Lonely Penny series. The penny, you know, the penny that pouted. Maybe that would just be basic learning. Pout, penny, pout. Penny, penny, penny. Okay, so that's the structure of the show. That's the rules around the show. I think the rest of the intro kind of demonstrated the sensibility of the show, which is silly. To kind of give you, to make bedtime less serious and less like a rigmarole, maybe to barely put a smile on your face, so you maybe giggle a little bit, and then you wake up and you say, I don't know what Scoots was talking about. Maybe Penny, I think Penny Loafers, he got a new set of Penny Loafers, and then he had the great Penny Loafer sock debate, and then he had the idea of the way he dresses in Penny Loafers, and then he tried to return the Penny Loafers. Something, I don't know. It was great. I slept so good. So if you're new, and most listeners say this, give the show a few tries to see if it works for you. There's no pressure for you to like it, and it doesn't work for everybody. Though if I had a magic wand, or, you know, if I had a magic penny, I did do an episode about a magic penny. No idea what it was about at this point, but I would give it to you if it was going to put you to sleep, if the podcast didn't work. But for all I can do, I can just be here and do this show, and you can see if it works for you. If it doesn't work for you, you know, try some LibriVox. There's great international fairy tales on there. That's just one recommendation I have. But I hope it does, because I work very hard. I strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming by. And here's a few ways we keep this show going. All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make a Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs a podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because it over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action kind of, you know, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, I know not everybody's in a position to support the show, so I totally understand that too, and that's a great thing again for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show but they can't, or there's people that would love to support the show but they're just kind of stuck or whatever. So your support supports the show for them too, so thank you so much. All right, everybody, here we are. We're talking about season 3, episode 5 of The Good Place. A good place to sleep here is Jeremy Bearamy. And that's spelled B-E-A-R-I-M-Y. I don't know how I would have spelled it, but probably not that way. But it makes it, it's easy to say, bear me. Yeah, it opens with right where we last left off, the door. What the hell is that? Oh, hey, guys, Michael says. What are you up to? They say, we're getting more champagne. It's right behind the magic door. Michael closes the door. We see a hex cell pattern we'll talk about later. I don't know what that other word says. Dalton, it looks like. Also, the portal closes. Michael says, what door? And then I think Eleanor says, whoa, 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 which I do a lot, especially when I'm reacting to things. And they say, what's a good place? And then I think Jason says, I know who this is. It's Zach Pizzazz. And then Chidi says, no, it's the librarian from the university. And then Tahani says, no, it's Gordon Indigo, the rude Silicon Valley investor. And they say something about an interdimensional door opening and closing, not a lot of wiggle room. That's what Janet says to Michael. They've seen that. And Michael, I guess I should say it right now. So this is like the 5th episode in the season, the 4th one to come out, I believe. And really some amazing, I mean, the cast, the talent of the cast and the writing and the direction, production. You know, I don't know a lot about TV, but I feel like the 5th episode is normally can be a bit of a dry spot. And this is really an episode that serves a purpose in the overall story of the season. But there's so many high points. And also there's a lot of very palpably wonderful emotional moments. You know, which the show already does so well, but with emotional depth, Freudian slip there. Though there isn't any of that in here, I don't think. And there's just a lot of good, funny humor as well. And somehow they do that in a 22-minute package. I don't know. So they say not a lot of... the scene ends with Michael saying to Janet... so you're going to say you're forgetting one crucial thing. He says that twice. And there's just the interplay between Michael and Janet is really good here. And then a couple other really good moments. So the character, I mean, the acting, I mean, I guess because it's like they've been playing these characters now for a while. Really, really good. Let's see. I guess I had more. 3 seconds. Someone says, tell us about this crazy space door. And Michael says, okay, I'm Special Agent Rick Justice, and this is Lisa Frenchy Fuqua. And Jason, of course, says, I knew it. Then it's chapter 31. Then they say they're paranormal investigators. And they say, no way. And Michael says, no, we can prove it, right? Janet, just ask Janet any question. Great stuff about nicknames. Eleanor says, no way. She says, these jamokes, like, I could see right through them. And there's a serious question. Michael says, you know, this is just goo and juice over there. And then this was a little bit, a small emotional note, but Michael's breathless. He says, you know, it's over. And they say, we got to tell him the truth. So then they cut to the post-truth. And everybody's like, this sucks. And then Michael goes, they say, okay, to sum everything up, I don't know, I can't remember if this is Michael or... how is my Eleanor? Sorry, Eleanor. My mind went blank there. Also, just to cut to some scene stuff, there's two whiteboards. Left one has some stuff. You could, you know, if you're a $5 patron, you get to see these notes. Let's see here. We got a. It says other BPD. There's all sorts of writing on it in circles. I think talking about the original Good Place, it's 332. I thought it was points, but it was people. And then there was 802 points, I thought it was, but it was reboots as I got to see it. We see humans, Chidi, Eleanor, Jason, and Tahani. Foods, Froyo, kebabs, clam chowder. 318 people working for the good or the bad place, including Glenn and real Eleanor, Vicky. And this is other BP people, bad place people. And then there's another one with like a kind of circle with Chidi, Eleanor, Jason, and Tahani. We may have seen this before. I don't know if it was the first season or earlier this season. Some of this stuff on a board, but it's I guess it in a little bit different way. It was out of focus most of the time. I saw Eleanor fear the bad place. Love is something. And then Michael says, hey, sorry for eternally dooming you. And they say, well, how long were we rebooting for? It felt like 100 years. They say, Michael says, it's 300. And then they're kind of like, how is all this possible? So Michael flips over to Tahani, what's that guy's name? Larry, wedding, engagement picture. He turns that into a whiteboard and, trio of Earths, timeline for Earth is a straight line. And we'll talk about the idea of a flat circle, hopefully, later. But he said in the afterlife, it's in the timeline is Jeremy Bearme. That's the timeline, Jeremy Bearme. And they say, how, what, I don't know what to tell you. And I think this is Chidi. He says, what in the hell is this over here? He's pointing to the I on Bearme, B-E-A-R-I-M-Y, the dot over the I. He says a choice. He says, I want to know what the hell that is. He has his glasses off. His arms are crossed. And Mike says, this is Tuesdays in July and never. And I think, Jana and Jay says, like, yeah, when nothing never occurs. And then Chidi's, Chidi says, this broke me. This dot over the eye broke me. And then I just noticed some of the flowers match Eleanor's shirt, which is a nice touch. Then Eleanor says, you know, I'm outie. I can go back. I don't need any of this. I'll see you all in HE double hockey sticks. It really means it. And Michael and kind of Janet, no, don't go. No, don't go. Then we have this multiple, I think there's multiple locations named after Nemo, but I'm not sure about that. This bar is called Drinking Nemo. Yeah, free birthday margaritas. So Eleanor says it's my birthday. Then she says it isn't, but I just want a free drink. We see a safe, Swanson Safe Company. Jason's going to be Tahani's Kevin Costner. Jason also mentions an off-brand SeaWorld he worked at. And then Jason says, we'd like to buy one opera. Wings and Atria, Tahani says. I love that word, Atria. So Jason also, I think Jason mentioned he just kissed a BAT before. And this is one of the emotions. There's a multiple Jason and Tahani emotional notes in here, but this is one. And just also wisdom. There's like a lot of wisdom doled out in this one. She says, I thought I've always been captive by my desire for attention, but this whole virtue for virtue thing. And Jason goes, well, I got to have virtue for virtue idea. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, then Chidi mentions that he may have heard of the entire second season of Gate Bassos because he says G-O-D is D-E-A-D. What festivals of atonement, what sacred games will we have to invent? He says this person, it's Nietzsche, Friedrich Nietzsche, 1882. I don't know how many times Chidi got called weird in this episode, but the guy goes, you made it weird. And then sprinklers hit Chidi. Yeah, he takes off his shirt and his sweater at the same time, a sweater vest and a dress shirt. So it must have been, I mean, no offense, but it must have been stunt clothing because he pulled them right over his head. And holy mackerel, is Chidi, he's got a bod. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, but he's like jacked. And I think they had mentioned, they've talked about both Jason and Chidi's bodies before, but I mean, I couldn't believe it. I said, holy cow, man, he's ripped. You'll marvel. Give William Jackson Harper a call. But let's see. What does that say, though? Complete round moon fest. We will turn it on. We fainted. Takes shirt sweater off all at once. Jacked. Manifesto completed. So Jason and, or no, Janet and Michael are working on a manifesto, and they said, we'll have to turn it on, we found it, but basically he says, we've blown it, but maybe one day we'll write this manifesto, and someone else will succeed where we didn't. And this is another reason we watched the episode a few times, just the acting, because Michael starts hunting and pack typing. And the looks on Janet's face and her reaction, it's just gold, absolute gold. Great acting, hunting pecking. We go back to the bar, and they're talking about, Eleanor's talking to the bartender, every place has its rules, deal with it. No more, this is what Eleanor would want if she had made her own rules. Deal with things, forget it, suck it up. No more Peter Parker movies and leave me alone. She said, kind of like the way things are in the U.S. Then she finds a wallet. She goes, well, wallet. But she can't take it. So she gets in a taxi, goes to someplace. It says, keep the meter running. The taxi number was 2081. And it was $58 to go to the first stop. But she says, keep the meter running. Eleanor's still in her pink star shirt. She's looking for Fred Boof. That really, for some reason, the word boof makes me laugh. Eleanor uses the term schlep because she goes, well, you'll see the plot of the episode, but she has to schlep a plant, a hoe, a garden hose with a sprayer on it, a table lamp, and a table or a desk, and then like a desk or some fancier lamp with two lights. It's brass. And some big old canvas bag. I also said I would pay attention to what Eleanor was wearing footwear-wise in the intro. Seems to be some sort of, I thought they were Stan Smiths, but I think they have Adidas stripes. I'll keep watching now, like as I'm recording. But, what does that say? 78 Palmer Boomerang. Oh, that's the address, 78 Palmer, which is right back by the bar. So they say boomerang. We see a lot of Australian currency in this episode. Beautiful money. Yeah, very beautiful money they have over there. Also, I think the term B&G gets used a lot. Okay, here we go. I'm watching for Eleanor's shoes here. She's getting out of the cab. I was a little bit ahead of the episode here. She's getting out. She's at the door. No shoe shot yet, but she's going to schlep some things. So we'll get, I know we'll get her shoes when she's leaving. Can you carry some stuff for Mr. Boof, Fred Boof? Boof, we call it paging Boof, paging Mr. Boof, Mr. Fred Boof. You know, wait a second. So it's not Stan Smith. It looks like it had two stripes and not three stripes. It could have been blue or black. So some sort of Adidas. I don't know what they were. But then we're at the B&G shopping market and Chidi's grocery shopping without a shirt on. He's got a thing full of almond milk. Then he grabs some Stag chili, skips the Hormel chili, but they're probably owned by the same conglomerate. Takes some Peeps, pink, purple, yellow, and cyan, blue, or turquoise. It looks like they are 99 cents a pack. Puts on this beautiful lavender shirt. Who, what, when, wine? What does it say? But maybe one. Oh, no, sorry, I went backwards. Oh, there's these, like, wafer rolls, like those things you get at Trader Joe's talking about, cocoa batons. They call them wafer rolls in Australia, $1.99. And I think they had, like, a coconut, strawberry, and a cocoa. Good thing about Chidi, I knew I liked him. He likes peanut M&Ms, so buys a lot of peanut M&Ms. And they say, yeah, you can't shop without a shirt, so he gets a who, what, when, where wine. It's kind of like a stock photo, like wine glass in it, like a splash in there, lavender. He gives a double thumbs up. He checks out. He's got the almond milk in there. Behind him is like an almond dispenser with almonds spilling out of it. His total's 880. Yeah, then Jason's talking about free money. Tahani says, are you poor? Jason says, don't do that. Chin guitar, trusty current plan. I don't know what that is. Trudy current plan, Australian currency. I wonder what that says. Chin guitar, Trudy current plan. Jason gets real here. He really has a real moment. Talking about how much money would have changed his life, how little would have, how just a little money would have changed his life. And then we're at F&B Bank, who won't process 131 million British pounds for Jason from Tahani because he took too many lollipops, which did look like dum-dums. Tahani mentions the Heart of Ocean necklace she got from James Cameron. Fred Boof gets his stuff back, and we have another big emotional note, really real depth, like I put wow around this picture, good luck, daddy. Maybe like a level of, I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way, like emotional manipulation that just says, where are we going with this season? What's everybody up to? Like, you know, how many layers, is this really happening or not, you know? But let's just kick back and enjoy it, right? Then Chidi has a masterful scene. First, we have a moment where Eleanor's touched, truly touched. And then Chidi's making chili with Peeps and M&Ms. And he says, okay, this is a kind of important recap. Over the last 2,500 years, Western philosophy has three main themes of how to live an ethical life. Virtue ethics from Aristotle, which promoted courage and generosity and Dunlop or something in accordance... then there's a shot of this in action with Jason and Tahani giving away money and supporting people. Consequentialism, rightness stems from the consequences, like how much good versus how much ungood. And we see Jason and Tahani again. Then deontology, rules and duties that everyone must follow these rules, you know, live in accordance with it, and that works. And let's see, he's talking about it right now. Oh, that's when Eleanor decides to, that's after Eleanor's rule discussion, she returns the wallet to Fred, and then he says, all three of these are dookie. You know, I'm down for nihilism, do whatever, goodbye. He has this big out moment, with his class, and Eleanor says, cool speech, teacher, cool lecture. And then she says, why do I always have a stomach ache? And she says, well, it's a chili. And then we will get led to this emotional high that I could so relate to. Eleanor says, I have a plan. Michael and Janet are just finishing up the manifesto, a complete account, big stack of papers of everything we've done. Cinnamon rolls made out, including a recipe of cinnamon rolls made out of pizza roll dough. And maybe someone can learn from our mistakes, which I guess thematically kind of couples with what Eleanor's going to be talking about in a second. Then Michael says, let's take some time and enjoy our time on Earth. Let's go to a lens crafter's. Janet says, I'm going to get some bangs. And then Eleanor and Chidi show up. They say, is everything okay? Other than everything. I think Michael says that. And Eleanor says, it's all chilly under the bridge, dude. And then Jason and Tanya show up. They have big news, which kind of sets Janet on edge in a subtle way. Really, really amazing. So many just callbacks, these jokes about Tycho's and marriage. Then Eleanor, who is clearly is the heroine and the leader, if we didn't know that already, this one, she says, all right, I need everyone to focus up. She says, this message really, really, and I'm not joking at all, hit home for me. She says, okay, we're all doomed. So the six of us are all doomed. With what we have left, we can try to do good, try to help people we care about. Let's try. And she says, who wants to try? And everyone goes, we're in. And then I think the last person is Chidi. And she says, Chidi, you want to join the soul squad and save some souls? And he says, yeah, after I go potty. And then Larry rolls up, and so it ends on this funny little joke with Larry in really one of the all-time great episodes, in my opinion. The show literally has deep soul to it. Philosophical depth. Really enjoyable episode. So let's see what came up with this episode. What did I look up? What did I research? Okay, so the first thing that came up was this pattern that goes around the interdimensional door. And back when I first moved to California, I didn't know what I was going to do when I was a grown-up. That took quite a while. So when I first moved to the Bay Area, at first I was temping. I was a Kelly girl, and people will laugh. But I went to this two temp agencies that were competing with one another. And this was in the modern time, and they still, I said, well, normally we refer to the people that work here as Kelly girls. It was a temp agency, and I said, well, I'm fine with that. One, I said, two, wake up, eh? And they said, well, it's just a remnant. But I said, well, which so I was temping, and then I get a job installing ergonomic workstations in tech companies for the most part. Or that's not totally true. But so one of the companies I was installing these workstations in was called Hexcel, Hexcel. And I remember I was with the salesperson that sold the ergonomic workstations. And usually it was just a team. The salesperson would handle the customer. Well, I ended up handling more customer service than I was happy about. But this was one of these carbon fiber companies. And their claim to fame was something about that Hexcel shape. You know, it looks like they're doing pretty good because according to the website, Hexcel is a global leader in advanced composites technology. They make a wide range of applications, stronger, lighter, and tougher. Founded in 1948, 6,200 employees, 23 plants, and $1.9 billion in sales. Latest news, they're on display at Composites Europe 2018. CAMX at 2018. It just opened something new in France. You know, they got their own autoclaves, acoustic cap technology, reducing aircraft noise. I could use some of that if you're listening. What else do we got here? That's the latest news products. Let's see. I think they make bikes and everything. Yeah, carbon fiber. Fabric reinforcement, pre-pegs and resins, including hex ply, hex bond adhesives, honeycomb, tooling. A lot of people say hex tools. I'd like to put a hex tool on scoots, or get a hex tool to deal with scoots. And parts and structures. So this is a little bit about Hexcel. And I remember you could see it off the 580. I think they're in Dublin or where I installed stuff. Maybe they had two locations that I installed stuff at. But yeah, it was, everybody that worked there was very nice. I remember we met the office manager and whoever that was. They were very involved. I was very impressed. I was, you know, I always have these secret daydreams. I was hoping they would give me like a carbon fiber bike. Not that that ever happened at any company ever. But I said, well, it'd be cool if they gave me, just handed me a carbon fiber bike and said, go to it, kid. But that did not happen. So that's Hexcel. I don't know if they have anything to do with the interdimensional door. Probably not. And then we had a Frenchy Fuqua, which reminds me of Antoine Fuqua. Who's best known for the Academy Award-winning Training Day, but started as a music video director, born in Pennsylvania. Let's see, what else? Started off making videos for Tony Braxton, Coolio, Stevie Wonder, and Prince, and then started working on feature films in the late 80s, early 90s. Had a big fan of Kurosawa. This is all according to, also works with John Woo, with the replacement for Friends, then Training Day with Denzel Washington, then Tears of the Sun, King Arthur, then a movie, Squirter, then Brooklyn's Finest, Olympus Has Fallen, Equalizer, with Denzel, and then Equalizer 2 that recently came out. Adapting After Dark with Wesley Snipes. Let's see, on and off of other projects. Did Southpaw. Let's see, 20th Century Fox. A little bit of this is a... Magnificent Seven, that's like, seemed like it did really, really well. And that was influenced by Seven Samurai. Fuqua was also involved in the 2016 remake of Roots. Maybe in talks to make a remake of famous movie starring Al Pacino. Oh, then Fuqua left and the Coen brothers are working on that. But now Fuqua's back on that. Really beloved director, in my opinion. Really a director I have a great love of. And, when I thought of Fuqua, that's what I thought of. What about the term Jamokes? Eleanor uses it. Where does it come from? Well, this article is over at Merriam-Webster.com, and it is titled, the title of the slow loading page, 10 Common Words with Military Origins. Doesn't have an author, though. A ginormous, which means extremely large, is a portmanteau of gigantic and enormous, and came from British military slang. 1962 dictionaries of Sailor's Dictionary, ginormous brush. And a ginormous party in the mess, anything humongous. Picket, which is a person posted for demonstration or protest, it was in the 1600s, because it was originally what the stakes that were used to mark out an area for building fortifications. Picket was also used in other military terms. Jamoke, definition coffee, alteration of Jamocha. Both words originated in naval slang in 1890s and found a home in different people's parlance. Java and Mocha, two places coffee has been grown, but then it became inconsequential fellow. One wag claims that the transition happened when military personnel used a jamoke jokingly for colleagues that didn't pay for coffee or weren't as important as coffee. Umpteen, very many numerous, comes from umpty, a slang word used in the military for an indefinite but fairly large number. Umpteen was probably created by analogy to actual numbers such as 20 and 30 and was originally used as a handle for the dashes in Morse code. Umpteen abounds, but umpty's not really used. Raunchy is, we know what that means. It was in the 1930s in the United States Air Corps for Air Corps cadets that were unkempt. Skedaddle, run away, is an alteration of scaddle, a word used in British dialect for someone running off, or, you know, a pet running off. Skedaddle was used in Union troops, by Union troops, so that's when it made. What about skosh, a small amount, comes from the Japanese word sukoshi. S-U-K-O-S-H-I, Sokoshi, S-U-K-O-S-H-I, which is pronounced, if I would have read a little bit, Skoshi, which means a tiny bit. It could have been shortened by servicemen in Japan in WW2 for any small amount, Skosh. Spit and polish, there's a couple other ones in there, but that's from Merriam-Webster. Thanks, Merriam-Webster. Now, Michael says our current timeline on Earth is a flat, like a straight line, but it made me think of our friend from our true friend, who also is a detective, Rust Cole, I think it was his name, and the idea of the time being a flat circle, which is also known as the eternal return. Here's a couple of eternal return quotes. First, we'll start with Rust Cole's. Is that his name? Yeah, Rust Cole. Someone has told me time is a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over again. But then for Nietzsche, who came up in this episode, says, Supreme Star of Being, Tablet of Eternal Forms, you come towards me. Why hasn't anyone beheld your mute beauty? Why doesn't it escape my gaze? A sign of necessity, tablet of eternal forms, but of course you know it. What everyone hates, what I alone love, that you are eternal, that you are necessary. My love is ever ignited only through necessity. Sign of necessity, supreme star of being, that no desire attains. That no desecrates, eternal yes of being, eternally I am your yes, for I love you, O eternity. That's Nietzsche there. And there's a lot of other ones that I'll link to, but let's check on Wikipedia a little bit about the eternal return, which I guess is different than Jeremy Bearman, but maybe not. Eternal recurrence is a theory that the universe and all existence and energy have been recurring and will continue to recur in a self-similar form an infinite number of times across infinite time or space. This theory has been found in Indian philosophy and in ancient Egypt. The Stoics and Pythagoreans talked about it. With the decline of antiquity, in the spread of Christianity, this theory fell into disuse in the Western world, with the exception of Nietzsche, who connected the thoughts to many of his concepts, including amor fati, which I think maybe was how this episode ends on that note. Embrace your fate, love your fate. I guess that's what Eleanor is saying at the end of the episode. Interesting that I missed that, because I used to have amor fati on an index card across from my foot of my bed. And I'd say, what does that mean? What does that mean again? I got to go back to bed. Eternal return is based on the philosophy of predeterminism and predestiny, which, you know, that's kind of what this episode's about, right? Wow, this the depth. I salute you, the good place. Basic premise proceeds from the assumption that the probability of world coming to existence like our own is non-zero. If space and time are infinite, then it follows that our existence must reoccur an infinite number of times. And it's 1871, Louis-Auguste Blancpain, said, assuming a Newtonian cosmology where time and space are infinite, claimed to have demonstrated eternal recurrence as mathematical certainty. In ancient Egypt, the scarab was viewed as a sign of eternal renewal and reemergence, and a reminder of the life to come. Also, Mayans and Aztecs took a cyclical view of time. So a little bit about it. In Nietzsche, the concept of eternal reoccurrence, as we've talked about, is central to writings in Nietzsche. It comes up again and again. Lots of quotes, including like the one Chidi says, let's see, several authors have pointed out that the occurrences of hypotheses in contemporary thought. There's a lot more about it, but that you could read about if you like. It just reminded me of Ruskell. What about the Swanson Safe Company? First of all, great alliteration. And then, you know, Ron Swanson. Swanson Safes came up. Tahani's money was in a Swanson Safe. Jason had been in one. And there's lots of writing. This is from the AV Club. Had numerous links between The Good Place and Parks and Rec. And that some things might exist in both universes, or maybe they are part of the same universe. And I'll link to this. You know, Ron Swanson never explicitly got into the safe business, it says. And now I lost my face. If he did, he would have been very sturdy. And a pretty thing. But then the Good Place podcast, it did, they had it as a sponsor, the Swanson Safe Company, is they talking about their quality of their safes. And who voiced that ad? We don't know, or do we? I don't know. So to listen to that episode, that was episode channel 21. With Jason Mantzoukas and Jeff Rosenberg. So listen to that episode and listen to that ad for Swanson Safes. And by the way, keep it safe. Put everything in a Swanson safe. Safe, secure, Swanson Safes. Thanks. Okay, what about taxi cab meters? That came up, and you know, it's something you see less and less with ride-sharing apps. And if you ever lived in New York, and you didn't have any, you know, the agony of watching these meters and saying what, or anyway, I guess anybody, it's probably a universal thing. If you've ever ridden in a cab and you're not a monopoly person, you're probably saying, holy cow, like, you got to be kidding me, right? So according to Wikipedia, a taxi meter is a mechanical or an electronic device in taxi cabs and auto rickshaws that calculates fares based on time and distance traveled. A modern one was invented by German Friedrich Wilhelm Gustav Brunn in 1891. And the Daimler Victoria was the first gasoline-powered taxi cab in 1897. They were originally mechanical, mounted outside the cab, above the driver's front side wheel. And then they got relocated inside, and people were familiar back then with the sound of the ticking mechanism. And they even had like a flag, I think, that you could put up and down that kind of started it. And some of them like would say, you know, busy, I don't know, hired or unhired, or I don't know what the thing says. You know, some of them had printers. There's a lot of different ones across the world. So people probably collect these, free or for hire. Occupied or hired, to pay or stopped. So it's just a little bit about it. It's probably, there's probably a taxi museum somewhere. Now, Stan Smith sneakers. I saw Eleanor was wearing Stan Smiths. I don't think she was, though, even though there are blue Stan Smiths. Here's the thing. I wore Stan Smiths on and off for probably like 10 years of my life. That was when they were out of style. Now they're in style, but or they were recently. It is a tennis shoe made by Adidas, maybe for playing sports, more for like looking good. I can't believe I wore white sneakers, and yeah, they didn't stay white for long. Stan Smith was a tennis player from the 60s to the 80s. White leather upper laces, a simple design. It does not have external three stripes. It just has perforations or ventilation holes as stripes. So it has this minimalist branding, and it's usually green, but I know they've come out with a blue model. It started in the 60s, and then the 70s it was named after Stan Smith, after an agreement. Between the 80s and the 90s, 22 million pairs had been sold. By 94, that had got to 23.7 million. Stan Smith 2. I don't know if I've had a Stan Smith 2. It came out in 2008 as part of the additional Adidas Originals line. 40 million pairs have been sold. I wonder how much Stan Smith ever got. Best-selling tennis shoe ever, maybe. It's a complex sneakers listed at number 4 as the 50 greatest tennis sneakers of all time. Due to the enormous success, they stopped marketing the shoe in 2012. Maybe it's a myth. I don't know. In 2014, they launched it with the ability to customize your own pair. I wonder if you can still do that. You should do it with purple. That's it. If anybody knows anything more about it, hit me up. It's a little bit about Stan Smith's. It's a pretty packed episode, so I may have to link to some of the stuff, but Peeps came up. They're marshmallow candies shaped into chicks, Easter bunnies, or other animals. People, they tend to be a divisive thing, and they have expanded. I worked with a woman named Joan who loved Peeps. I like Peeps. I'm not against them. Manufactured in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania by Just Born Candy Company. Let's see. Yeah, they expanded a lot in 2009, lip balm and other things. Then they started, it looks like they have Halloween Peeps. I'll have to check those out. I don't know if I've had those. Peeps are sometimes referred to jokingly as indestructible. Emory University performed experiments to see what they could do to it. Some places say they're totally insoluble, but according to this, it's like maybe not. That's just a little bit about Peeps. It was cool to see it on the episode, and let's see. Beautiful Australian currency in this one. I gotta say that I'm preferable. I don't know what my favorite note is. $5 note has some beautiful colors from Sleep With Me podcast. The 10's got a nice blue turquoise. But I think the $20 note's my favorite. It's just a bold red. Though the 100 is a clean green. I also like the dollar coin. Let's see when these were issued. I think 2016. Let's see if they have the designs. And there's a lot. The dollar coin replaced the dollar note in 1984. Depicts 5 kangaroos. $2 coin got rid of the $2 note in 1988, which has an Aboriginal tribal elder against the background of the Southern Cross and native grass trees. A 20-cent coin has a platypus on it. I gotta get my hands on some of these coins. 10-cent coin has a male lyrebird dancing, which is a mimic bird. So the currency, yeah, I have to go over in another time, but beautiful, beautiful bills as well as, I haven't seen pictures of the coins, but mostly the bills were featured. They were giving out a lot of 20s, I think, in this episode. And then one more piece of candy news. What about Dum Dums? It seemed like Jason was having those D-U-M-D-U-M-S, so lollipops, so sphere-shaped lollipops. And they're from an Akron candy company in Bellevue, Ohio. They were thinking that that name would be something any child could say. They were purchased by Spangler Candy Company and moved to Bryan, Ohio. Initially, there was 7 flavors, lemon, lime, orange, coconut, pineapple, cherry, grape, and butterscotch. They've gone from plastic to paper strips and back again. Then 16 new flavors rotating in the mix every so often. Mystery flavor is the result of the end of the one batch mixing with the new batch. I didn't know that. Rather than stopping production to clean machines in between flavors. And it looks like the Wikipedia article links to a thing. What is a mystery flavor of Dum Dum's Mental Floss article? So that's cool to check out. Let's see. What else? One last thing is the Heart of the Ocean necklace, which was from the movie Titanic. Is it real? That was the question I had. It's a fictional blue diamond featured in the film Titanic, 56 carats, owned by Louis the 14th, and put in a heart shape during the French Revolution. Billy Zane purchased it before riding on the Titanic. It was going to be an engagement gift for Rose, and it's believed that Rose and was wearing the necklace at some point, and then people wanted to get it. The story of the Hope Diamond has many similarities to the Heart of the Ocean, except the Hope Diamond was not on any ships that went to the big farm in the sea. So that's just a little bit about it. I don't know. I wanted to just see. There's the J. Peterman necklace. Blue cubic zirconia. The Asprey and Gerard necklace. Which was based on the film, 171 carat sapphire. I think it got sold for a donation to support a bunch of charities for $1.4 million. Oh, under the agreement, Celine Dion would wear it for the 1998 Academy Awards. And then the J. Peterman Company did sell reproductions of it. That's a little bit about... There's some stuff that came up on The Good Place. All we got to do is try, just like Eleanor says. You've joined the, Oprah has Super Soul Sundays. And on Thursdays, you got the Soul Squad on The Good Place. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show. We're on Apple Podcasts. Toby, the best, said simply works better than the alternatives. Not sure how he does it, but it works. Wake up a few times. And where I used to toss and turn, I just keep the app running at low volume and find it much easier to sleep. Wild M says it works and it makes me smile. Love this podcast. Really works. I don't fall asleep. I fall asleep with a smile on my face. Thanks, Scoots. Thank you. I want to be a kid again and have Scooter as my dad. Scooter's squeaky dulcet tones. Take me back to a time when I didn't have to worry about adult stuff. I hear you. And I could sleep so much better without my brain running constantly at night. I didn't realize I needed a bedtime story before I started listening. But now I can't sleep without it. That's from Sherlock Rates. Here's Rob Garbo, maybe related to Greta, maybe not. So boring, I fall asleep before it's over. I don't really know if his bedtime stories are any good. You usually fall asleep during the beginning. That's 5 stars. Dora, with a lot of A's and H, works like a charm. I have no issue getting off to sleep, and it's a peaceful one at that, thanks to this podcast. Even if I do wake up, it's not long before I'm off again. Miracle. Can't wait to become a patron. Serotonin says, that's funny. It's spelled with S-A-R-A-H, 16. I don't listen on a regular basis, but... The episodes I listen to put me to sleep easily. I should try to incorporate this into my night routine instead of my snack and tone. And Scoots is a real sweet guy. Thank you. Irish Fifi from the UK says, I'll be here to keep you coming in Deep Dark Night. Sending my voice across the Deep Dark Night made me tear up and subscribe within minutes. Just the soothing words you need to hear on a sleepless night. It works comes from Chris Start. I love this podcast. Drew Scooter cobbles together these amazing meandering stories that are just enough to listen to if you can't sleep, but boring and dreamy enough that you end up dozing off. Sweet and silly, and the community supportive and wholesome. So glad it exists, and Scoots can be my boyfriend. Adam says, my boy Sleep Bud. He's tapped into the gift of both making me laugh and putting me to sleep. It's phenomenal. Dawn does not like the ads. So I guess it's kind of a, you could become a patron and skip the ads at $5 a month. So I guess that's the best, probably the best solution. But yeah, thanks for the review. And thank you everybody for supporting the show. Sleep With Me is listener supported. Either listeners supporting the patrons or supporting the show directly. And you can do either one over the website, sleepwithmepodcast.com. Sleep With Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows over there at nightvalepresents.com. Newest shows, Adventures in New America, Dream Boy, new season of Within the Wires. Check out all of those amazing shows and all the other ones on the website. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And again, thanks for the support. Thanks for making the show possible. Let me tuck you in there. Get a little more comfy, a little more cozy. Thanks, and good night. I'll talk to you soon, or, you know, right after this in another episode. Good night. All right, but Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences is everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense. That's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2024, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville. Oh, Contact. TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it. But Big Farm in the Sky, P.I., I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone. They don't have the sponsor stuff. They don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end. But they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out. Hickory Dickory Farms. Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out. February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. Is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only. There's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Renfair with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2. Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So, yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but The Guild, the web series of The Guild, did a part of Season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do Season 1 of that and probably Season 2, maybe go on. I don't know. Maybe do Season 1 and Season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet. And then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.